Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I am your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center deep within the Civil Defense Radio bunker. This week, we will discuss a couple topics that are behind the news we have seen play out over the last 4 years, but especially the last couple months. These topics are the color revolution and the coup that has been taking place in our nation, but I will also address some thoughts about misinformation or propaganda the major media outlets are using to shape opinions and emotions of Americans. I have a separate episode I'm planning to do in the future on propaganda or the psychological operation that has been in play in America and around the world for decades. This episode today will only touch briefly on this topic, and I will comment on some of the material I have read in preparing for this show. Some may be asking why I have strayed away from my usual preparedness programming and become a bit more militant in my topics. The reason is simple. I spent my entire adult life in the service of our nation, only to discover at this late stage that much of it has been co-opted and corrupted by criminals posing as patriotic politicians, business executives, and community leaders. It has taken a remarkable man to help bring these facts to light, and that man is President Donald John Trump. I will be eternally grateful for his huge sacrifice during his presidency to endure the slander and libel from the opposition. And he has weathered this perfect storm and done so, in my opinion, very well. We will discuss some of the evidence to back this up later if there is time. I do not actively begin show prep to make my programs political. No, I just identify threats that I wish to inform you about and work from there. If the information leads me to a political bend, then that is where it leads, not necessarily my intentions. Remember, these are threats to our basic human rights I am identifying, and they present a potential physical threat to you and those you love and care about. This is why I bring you this podcast, to inform you so that you may be better prepared. Another note about this temporary shift in my shows is there are very serious and even dangerous threats to the citizens of the United States, as well as most nations around the world. Our last show, episode 90 on China, COVID, the Great Reset, and freedom, highlighted some of the threats we face globally. And many of these threats I may be pointing out here in America are also global threats to every people of every nation around the earth. There are COVID lockdowns and totalitarian actions by governments in the UK, Europe, and other countries. In fact, there is a frightful video from Australia that shows a woman being harassed in her own home and then arrested by police for daring to speak up about the fake COVID measures too many nations are imposing upon their people. I said in the last show that this biological attack upon the globe by China is playing into the hands of the globalists. These evil, maniacal, one-world government goons are ginning up this disease into more than it is to bring about world domination through an international socialist order. And as we've seen all too many times, the Orwellian tactics and overt human rights violations they employ are despicable. Why are we quarantining the healthy and not the sick? Any law enforcement officers who actively enforce these violations of basic human rights of free speech, freedom of movement, and will should be held accountable by the People's Court. You will only be treated as badly as you allow yourself to be treated. I'm not calling for anyone to act violently against their government or law enforcement, but you should be working with others to develop some kind of safeguards for yourself and your family against a repressive and authoritarian regime, as this can and will get worse. Again, I reference the biblical books of Daniel, Isaiah, and Revelation, a time of which all indications are we are in the birth pangs right now. Back in episode 66, 73, 79, and 84, we mentioned the great works done by the folks at unconstrainedanalytics.org. Their report on re-remembering the misremembered left, the left's strategy and tactics to transform America, is a long and very technical analysis of the situation we see in our country today. I highly recommend this to you. In the beginning of the above report, they list some great quotes as a primer for that report. I will list some of them here now. Quote, "The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God." John F. Kennedy. Quote, "The American people have got to stop fooling around with just fighting communism in the abstract. They have got to know what the thing means and why they are against it and how to fight it." Bella Dodd, testimony to the HCUA in 1953. Quote, "We think too small, like a frog at the bottom of a well. He thinks the sky is only as big as the top of the well. If he surfaced, he would have an entirely different view." Mao Zedong. I say, jump up on the wall and expand your view of the world around you. Open your mind and take in new thoughts and ideas so you recognize the lies and misinformation of those trying to enslave you and your nations. The time is now, and you should work to wake others up as well. So, let's get started. An American color revolution and a coup. This term, color revolution, may be a term many have never heard before and don't quite understand. Don't feel bad, neither did I until I began learning about it. Let's define what it is, how it works, and why we should be concerned in an American context. For our international friends out there, please evaluate these areas for your own situational awareness also. The go-to source for definitions is, of course, Wikipedia, and this is what they say about the subject. Worldwide media use the term color revolution, sometimes colored revolution, to describe various related movements that developed in several countries of the former Soviet Union, in the People's Republic of China, and in the Balkans during the early 21st century. The term has also been applied to a number of revolutions elsewhere, including in the Middle East and the Asia-Pacific region, dating from the 1980s to the 2010s. In most, but not all cases, massive street protests followed disrupted elections or requests for fair elections and led to the resignation or overthrow of leaders regarded by their opponents as authoritarian. Unquote. If we take a look back at the activities running up to not only the 2020 election, but even the 2016 election, we can see the elements of the design of the color revolution being played out in America. What were they? I thought you would never ask. The left are expert organizers. They also have some major financial benefactors to the cause of globalism and the subjugation of the only force in the world that is preventing their global success. America. The freedoms we enjoy, which are a bright beacon on the hill that shines as an example for the entire world to see, are a lot dimmer after this travesty of an election last November. Every citizen of every nation wishes for the freedoms that we have enjoyed and that are enshrined in our U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. If this were not true, then why do we have so many people from all over the planet coming here, or attempting to come here, for this lifestyle we enjoy? The left have thousands of organizations with very Democratic-sounding names, but are really a false shell of their names. Names such as Media Matters, Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, Black Lives Matter, Friends of the Earth, The Democracy Project, 350.org, Just in Motion, Democracy Forward, Southern Poverty Law Center, etc. With these many organizations and the training they provide their members and supporters, they are able to get their paid community organizers, which is a leftist buzzword for socialists, to quickly bring out hundreds and even thousands of people to an event. When the media helps drive a false narrative, like a white policeman shooting a black suspect as being a racist attack, then it's easy to stir up communities of color to respond. These false narratives began under Obama and have intensified under Trump. I must also mention that it has been proven that many labor union affiliates have encouraged their members to also participate in these demonstrations, like we have seen in too many cities since the 2016 election cycle. These are not spontaneous uprisings. No, they are pre-planned and organized socialist movements made to look like a grassroots uprising against whatever cause, action, or policy a Republican president or official does that enables the left to exploit it with their willing media accomplices. The false narrative of Trump's Muslim ban is a perfect example of the left quickly mobilizing to respond to, cause chaos, and continue to build a crafted narrative to portray the president as a racist. He banned people from entering the United States from countries that did not have legitimate vetting procedures and where radical Islamists thrive. But the left, who were in league with the Islamists and were ready because of Trump's statements against radical Islamic terrorism, rushed to the scene with large numbers of protesters with signs in hand. The left coordinated the narrative with the various groups and the media as they headed towards the airport. They did this with professionally pre-printed signs. That does not happen spontaneously. I think I asked this in another show. Why is it that there is only an outcry against Republicans? Why don't Democrats get the same treatment, especially by the press? The answer is 1, the right are too busy providing for their families, and 2, the media are full of Democrat fellow travelers of the left. In her March 2017 thesis at the Naval Postgraduate School on Russia's reaction to the color revolution, Catherine T. Hinkle gives the example of the 2003 Rose Revolution in Georgia. Here's a quote. In 2003, Georgia's Rose Revolution toppled the government of Eduard Shevardnadze, a corrupt regime that had created massive economic problems within the country, despite a surplus of natural resources. The election of 2003 had serious irregularities. Suspicious of a rigged election, the major opposition party declared victory and was joined in protests by the other opposition groups. Massive demonstrations resulted in the president's abdication. Shevardnadze was replaced by Mikhail Saakashvili, whose government was much more opposed to Russian influence. According to Tristan Landry, the Georgians involved in the revolution did not act alone. They were supported with money, education, and training by American-affiliated NGOs, which worked closely with the Georgian youth movement, Kamara, to organize the protests that led to Shevardnadze's defeat. Georgia's attempt to westernize have not had much success, and Georgia's new government continues to prosecute its opposition. End quote. What do the above case studies and our political environment have in common? Answer: student organizations and non-government organizations, NGOs, which are usually nonprofits. Students and young people are easy to manipulate into doing stupid things because they aren't aware of the dangers, but also they have little frame of reference with which to make intelligent, informed opinions on what these actions may bring about that could be worse than what they are fighting against. In the case of the Georgians, they may have had a bit better life, but not much, and not for long. Russia retook control of the country in August 2008, so their political actions were for naught in the end. The United States has had a booming economy since President Trump settled into his new position as the chief executive in 2017. He turned a lackluster economy into a booming one. Lowest unemployment numbers ever in recorded history for many categories, only to be sunk by the Wuhan Red Death from China. But then he brought it back, maybe not in whole, but in large part. So economic strife wasn't a legitimate factor in this election. The left ineffectively made a counterargument, and there are some who still believe this today. However, it is still used as a tool by the left and the media to disinform. The U.S. government has used NGOs for some time in shaping events in countries they wish to change. Egypt was one such country that Obama was responsible for using a color revolution to make a change in their government. What is called the Arab Spring in 2011 was an attempt that ushered in the radical Islamic group Muslim Brotherhood, whom the Obama administration favored over the former political party. But luckily for the Egyptian people, the military soon corrected the problem and threw out the Islamists, whose goal was to turn Egypt into another Iran or Turkey, where extremism is the order of the day. In a University of Pennsylvania review of Lincoln A. Mitchell's book, The Color Revolutions, it says, quote, "At a time when the Arab Spring has raised hopes for democratic development in the Middle East, Mitchell's account of the color revolution serves as a valuable reminder of the dangers of confusing dramatic moments with lasting democratic breakthroughs," unquote. My biggest fear with this election is that the American people have made a mistake believing the lies, propaganda, and theft of the election. The media reports of the aggressive agenda of the incoming administration is absolutely crushing to anyone who loves American-style freedoms. Like the Georgians, we will see the end of our dreams stolen by strict socialism, or will there be a shining ember that remains to build the fires of freedom once again in the future? Only time will tell. Can there be a color revolution in America? I say yes. The good folks at Unconstrained Analytics believe so also. In fact, we are the newest victim of one. Part of the proof were the waves of demonstrations and riots by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, orchestrated by globalists inside and outside of our government. This is not a wild conspiracy theory. It is fact. The analysis proves my point. In episode 66, CD Radio SITREP, Intel Threats, Insurgency, I documented the neo-Marxist insurgency from the aforementioned report, Remembering the Misremembered Left. It stated we were facing an insurgency operation along with major propaganda operations. These are all integral parts of the color revolution. During my research, I found a number of articles from both left and right that looked at an American color revolution. While all were informative to some degree, the ones from the left were major propaganda pieces meant to misinform and redirect the reader to the squirrel outside the window. Nothing to see here. Run along and play in the street. In fact, the more I read the articles from Bloomberg and The Atlantic, the more incensed I became. They are classic examples of misdirection, projection, and outright propaganda. In a Bloomberg piece titled, "A Color Revolution? Democrats Are Not Planning One," Eli Lake makes factually inaccurate claims and misdirects his readers with half-truths. Quote, "The case was first made in a series of posts by former Trump speechwriter Darren Beatty. Trump's opponents, he says, are planning to wage a color revolution to deprive the president of his imminent victory. He cites the work of the Transition Integrity Project, or TIP, a group of journalists and academics that convened over the summer to simulate four outcomes of a contested election, with participants role-playing officials on both campaigns. Academics? Hardly. They are hardcore political operatives." Let's go on with the quote. "The group of Democrats and never-Trumpers is not simply analyzing how various scenarios might play out," Beatty argues. "It is trying to mobilize mass protests to challenge the results if Trump wins. For example, in the event that Trump secures a victory, the team representing Joe Biden encourages Western states to secede from the Union and persuades the House of Representatives to count pro-Biden electors to certify that he was the winner. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? He also goes on to make the claim that while it's true that the U.S. has invested billions of dollars to support civil society abroad through funding independent media and workshops on human rights law, actual U.S. funding for so-called color revolutions is scant. Now, isn't that great? We don't have a line item for color revolutions in our budget. This is misdirection and a play on the facts. As we've learned from past color revolutions, they were supported by NGOs and youth organizations, the same groups that were a major part of the street violence here in 2016, 2020, and I'm sure we will see it again in 2021. The CIA doesn't have a line item for color revolutions any more than it does for any of their other covert operations they conduct overseas. This is pure propaganda. While the tip was wargaming the possibilities of their side losing the election, they were also relying on their many NGOs to do their part in taking to the streets to cause chaos and mayhem should Trump win. Can you remember very much chaos and rioting between the 2016 and 2020 election seasons? No, they were mostly absent. The color revolution is dominant during election cycles, not in between. That is the time when they recruit, organize, and train their activists in preparation for the battle. Now, funny how that works, huh? I believe you're getting the picture. The TIP report did promise that after a Trump win, there would be a street fight, not a legal battle. Sounds like violence inciting speech to me. The left always gets away with their speech like this because the press buries it and most people don't hear about it. Now, I don't bemoan the Democrats for game planning the election. In fact, I hope the Republicans did so as well. What I am against is the use of violence, lies, and propaganda, and usury of the innocent people they deceived into marching for a cause they believed was right, but is only a politically expedient exercise. I will say this again. If Black Lives Matter, then all lives matter. This means the ones in the womb as well. But there aren't any demonstrations in the Black neighborhoods against huge numbers of abortions or the shootings that occur every weekend in their communities. Where is the outcry for these victims? Oh, it's only a political tool to bring down a Republican president. It's not real outrage. The squishy other side. In the squishy, never Trump side of the Republican Party, there is a publication called National Review. Writer Michael Brendan Doherty wrote in his article from August 11, 2020, titled The Coming Color Revolution, "It definitely, absolutely, well, probably won't happen here." He too is a propagandist of the worst kind. Doherty writes this article as if he's afraid of the left coming for him for revealing their secret plans. He makes too many excuses for reporting their plans, but makes some plans worth repeating here. Quote, "I believe the polls, and they tell a story. Biden's our next president. I totally, officially don't think pollsters are capable of misleading others or themselves. Pollsters are really the most capable people we have in this country, the real heroes, almost as admirable as rioters. And just so you know, I definitely, totally understand that conspiracies aren't real. In fact, I don't think human beings are capable of conspiring. They can't even plan things most of the time. Nobody could possibly have a backup plan because that would mean I'm a crazy person," unquote. Doherty quotes Ronald Brownstein of The Atlantic, suggesting that, quote, "If Trump wins a second term, especially if that victory relies on another rural surge to overcome massive opposition across the big metros, the chaos in Portland might look like the preliminary skirmish of an even more incendiary collision to come," unquote. Doherty continues and finally makes a point that made reading his article worthwhile. Quote, Why, if the collusion was merely an electoral ploy, would it go on after the election? The unstated implication is that progressives will respond to the election with widespread violence, and it will be the fault of the nonviolent voters if they do. Unquote. You heard it correctly. They planned violence after the election if Biden lost. So why is it a stretch to think that they wouldn't deploy Antifa to the Capitol ahead of the Patriots rally on January 6 to cause a scene that would give squishy Republicans a reason to turn their backs on their constituents and Donald Trump, investigating the violence at the Capitol? TMZ reported January 8th on the Capitol insurrection that the FBI is investigating the break-in as an inside job. One of the lines of investigation is the ease with which the mob found their way to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office so quickly. From the report, the path to Pelosi's office is like a maze, not easy to find. But once they found it, within 10 minutes, they vandalized the office and stole a laptop. The FBI are looking at Capitol Police officers and many others as potential sources of pre-planning and providing a map to the Speaker's office. Besides concern around the Speaker's office, there are also videos that appear to show Capitol Police moving barricades, opening gates and doors. There are other reports that this may have been a coordinated event to disparage the president, and it worked. Just look at all the terrible things that have been and still are being said about him and everyone who was at the rally that Wednesday. But Antifa and BLM riots are sanctioned and were mostly peaceful, so they were okay. Attendees of the rally have been denied access to flights, kicked off planes, and lost jobs, all for expressing their God-given, constitutionally guaranteed rights of free speech and freedom of assembly. The Orwellian clampdown on Republicans and conservatives will intensify as the new administration takes power and their followers become more emboldened. John Pollock tweeted a reminder about the BLM rioting in Washington, D.C. running up to the election. Quote, during Black Lives Matter peaceful protests, officers were injured at the White House and the president had to be moved to the bunker. There was an air of insurrection. Hours later, Kamala Harris joined the protests. Joe Biden mocked the president for having been moved to the bunker. Unquote. This was real violence and destruction, but nothing from the Democrats except encouragement and praise. They even joined in. In a tweet on January 10, 2020, Eric Holder stated, quote, be wary of unity calls that are designed to excuse, obscure the conduct of people who must be held responsible. There can't be real unity without accountability. We need instead a coalition of people committed to American renewal to rebuild what the past 4 years have damaged. Unquote. This statement by Holder is more divisive, threatening, and insightful of violence than anything President Trump has ever said. I said before that no matter who wins the election, the violence will get worse. As you have heard me report the words of the left above, their zealousness for the neo-Marxist agenda will further embolden them, and there will be clashes, small and great. This new era in America will be an interesting one in which violence will be state-driven and sanctioned so as to subjugate the opposition. This just may be the beginning of the second internal conflict America faces. And now is the time to organize. To organize, train, and be ready in your homes and your neighborhoods and communities. That's why we put together this program, why I wrote the guide that's on our website at the resources page. We need to organize and be one. We need to be one neighborhood, one community, and we need to make sure that we protect and defend the constitutional rights of every citizen in that area, whether it's your neighborhood or your community. This is paramount. This is what civil defense is all about. You should get my guide, read it, and put it into action. Share it with your neighbors and friends. And folks, this is serious. I'm not playing any games here. I'm not trying to get high ratings or anything, which I'm not even in the ratings game. But I do want people to be informed. This is my mission in life right now, besides taking care of my wife. So this is important. This should be important to you as well. This threat of the neo-Marxists, they're going to do a purge. They're already talking about it. If you listen to the news, listen to their speech, they are going to purge. This is serious. These guys are Marxists. That's what they do. They purge. They use violence to subjugate their opponents, to quash the opposition. And this is what they do everywhere. America is not going to be any different. So be ready. They're going to make up for the 4 years that they lost. This is going to be a rush to turn this country into a socialist state. This is going to happen, I predict, in the first year. And no, Joe Biden will not last but a couple months into his presidency. He will step down and somebody else will take his place. I don't believe it'll be Kamala. I believe it'll be somebody else that's already held that office. I'm serious. This is a nation killer. America will not be the same. We will have civil war. I hope not, but all indications that I see, it's coming. So, thank you. God bless you. Please be safe, be informed, be prepared. May God bless you and keep you. Until next time, God bless America.